Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
It is Monday, and on Mondays, we talk NASCAR with Rod Mullins. And we got a lot to talk about from yesterday's race in Fontana, California. Rod, welcome.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. So Kyle Larson, dominant 2021, but he has a new ride this year. Anytime you change teams, and of course, everybody's got new rides in one sense when you've got the new car out there. So there's that, there's a team, there's everything else. Gets the win yesterday. Talk about Kyle Larson. And I know there's other stuff we'll talk about with Kyle too, but talk about him getting that win yesterday.
Well, it came, I guess, at a point of where, you know, he had had kind of an off and on sort of day, getting up toward the front. You had a lot of others that had some good races on the day overall. You had Eric Jones, who led a number of laps, first time in the 43, I think, had led since Bobby Labonte back in 2007. So it was great for a petty car to be back out in front once again, at least satisfying some of the fans. But, you know, Eric Jones just didn't have enough there toward the end of the race. Austin Dillon did really well. He finished in second place. But, you know, you got to really talk about Kyle Larson and that comeback that he had coming up through the field and kind of just picking some people off, including his own teammate, so to speak, in Chase Elliott. And it wasn't very pretty because Chase kind of gets, I don't know if you would say he got bumped or he just kind of got sashayed over, so to speak, and he kind of taps the wall a little bit, and Elliott just jumped on the radio, and when he did, he just, you know, he went off. He was ballistic over the whole thing, using a lot of expletives. He said it's probably going to break again. I think it was in reference to something else that had broken on his car earlier in the race. He said it's probably going to break again, but he says, you know, I really don't give a crap, you know, who's leading at the end of the race and stuff. I don't care. But, you know, still, he spun out with 9 to go in the race again. So Chase Elliott did not have a good day overall, at least for Hendrick. And Kyle Larson, on the other hand, you know, that HendrickCars.com Chevrolet, that car of that next generation car is really proving that, you know, they've got a mastery of California. I mean, what was it, 4 or 5 Chevrolets in the top 5, I think was what it was. I think it was 4 out of the top 5 were Chevrolets. So that's a great compliment on Chevrolet, great compliment to Hendrick Motorsports. But, you know, Toyota and Ford left kind of scratching their heads wondering, what have we got to do to try to pull off a win here before it's over with?
You talked a little bit about the Larson Elliott thing. The thing that interests me, they're Hendrick teammates. So yeah. Now I know they're new teammates. Larson's new to the Hendrick team. But Larson, I think, said that he didn't see Elliott coming and, you know, didn't see as they were all fighting for the lead with about 20 laps to go. But, boy, I wonder how that's going to work in the garage during the week, these next couple of weeks, as those guys and teams have to mend fences.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's going to be one of those things of where these guys are going to have to get together. The drivers especially are going to have to get together. And then everybody as a team going to have to, you know, say, let's shake this off and let's just move on from this. And it's one of those things. It's sort of like when you get into these multi-car teams, sooner or later, somebody's going to bump into somebody or somebody's going to rub somebody the wrong way. Penske has seen that happen before. I mean, Ryan Blaney wasn't too happy with some of the things that, of all people, Brad Keselowski was doing at the Daytona 500. He wasn't happy with some things, wasn't happy this time around with the race. He had made a comment about one of the drivers. I won't say who, but he had made a comment that he says, you know, what the F is his problem out there on the track? And I mean, you're seeing some frustration out of these guys because they want some wins. They want to be able to do that. You know, and he's talking, well, I guess I better just go ahead and give it away. He's talking about Austin Cindric was who he was talking about, his own teammate. So how do you go and how do you prevent this thing from happening in the, you know, in the team headquarters and so forth? Rick Hendrick runs a good ship down there at Hendrick Motorsports in Charlotte, which is just not far from the racetrack. And he's always been one of these that's been very concerned about his program. So now it's going to be Jeff Gordon sitting down with Chad Knaus, Rick Hendrick probably on the side a little bit, and trying to get down to what in the world the problem is with this Hendrick team. You know, are you taking chances on each other? Byron, are you going and are you hitting people, you know, your own teammates when you should be trying to help them win a race instead of more so trying to challenge them? But, you know, again, it comes back to that old thing again that we've talked about. Nobody's friends. Nobody is kin to each other out there on the track. And some people have said, I'd wreck my old grandmother if I was out there on the track with less than 5 laps to go. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right here. It doesn't matter if you're teammates or what, you still got to face each other after the race is over with.
There were even people trying to suggest that Elliott, when his second wreck there, but nine laps to go, maybe he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
After the race, the folks were saying no. You know, both sides are saying no. But man, were, you know, at the time, you had to start thinking. You know, if he's that mad, but that shows you, like you said, you know, he was pretty upset at how things transpired there.
Yeah, and he, you know, he made the comment too. He said, "I'll probably have to watch a replay to make sure I'm seeing the thing straight to find out what he's talking about," because he knows one thing that happened, but you know. Can you say that Larson did that with, you know, full intentions of trying to wreck him? I don't think that he did, but, you know, Fontana was very weird for these next generation cars this past weekend, as we'll talk about here a little bit later on with the qualifying and some of the spins and everything. And I think they were trying to get used to this car and they were trying to just know how this car is going to handle and so forth. But Elliott went on to say, he said, "I was way in there on that deal. And before I say anything, I shouldn't, I better stop where I'm ahead and stuff. I don't know what else to tell you," is what his crew responded to him. Said, "Don't know what else to tell you," but Elliott said, "Maybe I shouldn't say anything before I should, you know, I better think about this," because people are listening on the radio. NASCAR's listening on the radio and Hendrick team is listening on the radio. So there's frustration that comes out, but at the same time, you've got to be able to get hold of yourself and get calm and try to see what you can do about it. And, you know, he's still a young racer, even though he's won a championship, and you could say, well, he's been on the circuit at least 4 or 5 years. True. But, you know, everybody makes a mistake here and there and stuff. And you got to look at it from that perspective.
You mentioned the name of Austin Cindric. He of course won the Daytona 500 a couple weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. Won the pole, ended up finishing 16th. Tyler Reddick won the first two stages and then he didn't have a good finish. He ended up, what, 24th. So, yep. So up and down days, up and down weekends, for those two.
Yeah. Tyler Reddick is really, he's impressing me more and more as the season goes on. Now, if he can just finish, that's the big thing right now. He has been able to put together some races, even going back to last season where he put some races together and you thought he was going to win there toward the end. And then one of the races, I think he ended up slapping somebody, hitting them and knocking them into the wall, knocking his car out of contention. And it may have been Keselowski, I think, at one of the super speedways. And there were things said. Reddick had a chance to win that race, and it didn't materialize. The same thing goes for this one. You know, it's going to be interesting to see when they go to Las Vegas and also they get a little bit closer to Bristol and the short track, how they're going to perform, because Reddick likes Bristol. Reddick likes driving a short track, and Las Vegas is a little bit more of a shorter track than what Fontana is. It's a mile and a half, but still, that's like home for them, you know, being that cookie cutter kind of track like Charlotte is. So I think Reddick will probably do well this time around. Cindric, on the other hand, you kind of expected this. You thought that Cindric would at least run toward the front, but then, you know, there's usually a letdown. Sometimes there's a letdown after that. Bubba Wallace knows, because Bubba Wallace was second in the Daytona 500. He didn't finish well this time around. So it's an up and down sort of thing. But, you know, Mark Martin just said it. I think he said it plain as anybody else and stuff. He said to the drivers, and he's pretty much frank about this stuff. When they were spinning and everything else in some of their practice sessions and their time trials that they were having on Friday, he just said, you know, some of these drivers, they need to suck it up. They need to learn how to drive a car. And he says, you know, that's the whole point of racing. You're supposed to get behind the wheel of a car that, yeah, you're familiar with, but you have to learn to understand how that car dials in, how that car is supposed to drive. You just don't go and walk into that car and say, all right, it's time now for a 500-mile race. And then you expect everything to be perfect. He said, that's the whole point of racing. You take what you've got. If you have an ill handling race car, you try to go and you try to do something with that ill handling race car. And you try to make at least a comeback through the race. Mark Martin was just, you know, flat out, just plain and simple with his words. And I agreed with him. I think that that needed to be said, that they needed to grow up a little bit. And, you know, if you're going to go and start throwing things out at people and everything, the surprise was really with me that Steve Phelps came out and kind of called ESPN out over the weekend for their tepid coverage of NASCAR racing. So ESPN's in another little spat now with NASCAR, and we'll see how that goes when it comes time for contract negotiations with TV contract. Will ABC get back into it? Who knows? But Steve Phelps wasn't happy with ESPN's what he referred to as tepid coverage of NASCAR this season.
Yeah, tepid is probably a good word. That's a nice word for it. I think it's the way you talked earlier. You hinted that we would talk later. Let's talk about now the how the new car did at Fontana. Here's one way it did. They tied a course record with 12 cautions, and that was the course record was set. One was a 500-mile race. This was 400 miles. So, a lot of issues there. Talk about how the car did.
The car I think performed as well as what they wanted it to. They wanted it to perform well and everything, and I think it did. But you know, again, it goes back to that thing that Mark Martin was talking about. The drivers have to adapt, and the drivers have to be able to learn about this thing. They had been wanting a new car for a long time. They've got this next generation car. Mark Martin said, learn it. That's what you're here for and stuff. It's a little bit of a curve. It's the same thing, I guess, if you want to say of driving a clutch. You know, you're going to have to learn sooner or later how to drive a clutch, even though in this day and time, we don't think about a clutch. But what happens when the day comes that you have to drive a clutch? There's going to be a lot of people out there that's not going to know how to drive, even put their foot in on a clutch, know what it is. They'll think it's a second brake pedal or something. I don't know, maybe front wheels or back wheels. I don't know what they'll think. But, you know, that's kind of what we're facing. We've got young drivers right now out on the circuit. You've got some veterans that are out there, but some of these guys, they expect everything to be perfect on their car, and it's not going to be perfect. That's the whole purpose of racing. And it's kind of what I referred to here earlier. The car, I think, did well. I don't think it did bad. There's some things about maybe the tire issue about holding to the track and so forth. But other than that, I don't think there was a big problem with the car. And it's learning. We're only in the second race of the season, getting ready to go to the third race in Las Vegas. Now, if the whole thing was falling apart, then I could say, yeah, we need to go back and look at this car, but it's not doing that right now.
You mentioned there were even issues during qualifying on Saturday, and reading about that, a number of guys spinning, a couple guys hitting the wall. I mean, you could tell this was going to be a race with a lot of cautions just based on how qualifying was going on Saturday.
Yeah, and these cars are supposed to have a little bit more downforce with them, and I don't know if you saw the car that I guess that was the car during the race. It was the Xfinity race, and it went airborne and lifted up, and you saw the bottom of it underneath it. It's nothing but a solid panel underneath, and there are vents in the back, and I didn't know that until I saw a photo of the car. It looks like there's vents in the back, and it's to provide downforce. So when the car and any other kind of air comes through there, they go out through those vents on the backside, so it's kind of pushing that car down and keeping it with the downforce. And then the other thing is the bottom is sealed up completely until, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, it's not a place for air to be able to go up underneath that car and be able to pick it up. I think we probably would have seen one of the old cars maybe pick up and maybe slam into the wall really hard if we'd had the old car there. But this next generation car, I think, is going to prevent some of that. And I think that race at Daytona prove that the car, I think it was Harrison Burton was who it was. Harrison Burton did not go airborne. He did lift up, but you know, he did come back down to the ground pretty quickly. So I think they've got this thing figured out. It's just a matter of just trying to get used to it. And I think once they get this year under their belt, I think it'll be a lot better car next year for them to work on.
So get us ready for Las Vegas this weekend on Sunday, 3:30 start. What can fans expect? Talk about the Vegas track, and I know it's again, we got the next generation car on another new track. It'll be the case for the next several weeks, obviously, until we get to some places where we go twice. So how do you think the car might fare there? What are the drivers saying? And maybe just get us ready for Vegas.
They've done some testing at Charlotte, and they did some testing with the next generation car at Charlotte, and it did really well. Daytona, they did a lot of testing too, but they have done some, you know, roundabout testing in some of these 1.5-mile tracks to just see how they will do. I think the bigger test on this car is going to come when they get to Circuit of the Americas, and we're going to find out how that really works here in the next couple of weeks. But right now at Las Vegas, we're expecting a track that's very similar to Charlotte. Of course, you're out in the desert. You've got that that sand issue. Of course, it might be a little bit of sand on the track, but of course, they'll try to keep it clean. But you know, these cars, I think, are really adapted to Las Vegas. And I think once you race at a Charlotte, or you race somewhere like a Texas or somewhere else, you kind of get used to that configuration. Now the big thing is going to be, how well do they set this car up, or how do they set this car up for Las Vegas? Are they going to set it up with a kind of a Charlotte thinking on this? Are they going to, you know, set it up with a Texas kind of setup? It's going to depend on how the pavement and how that track really rides. And they'll find that out when they do a couple of little test sessions when they get out there before they do some qualifying. So, you know, I expect a very close race again, especially at Las Vegas. Short track, yeah, you know, I've got to say Toyota's probably going to pick up a win this time around. Always Kyle Busch or Kurt Busch always drives well at this track because it's their home track. But, you know, we saw some things different out of some people last year. Martin Truex, he ran well at Las Vegas. So we might be able to see a Martin Truex victory before it's all said and done on the weekend. But, you know, this season's wide open. I don't really think that there's anyone or any particular car team right now that is dominant, that is showing off. I think we just saw the car makers, though, show off a little bit this past weekend. I mean, we saw Ford win the Daytona 500 with Team Penske, and then you saw Chevrolet win this past weekend with Hendrick Motorsports. Now, it's only logical that Toyota, with probably Gibbs, somebody on Gibbs Racing or somebody in that Toyota frame of mind, will pull off a win on Sunday. But that remains to be seen. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, Rod, thank you as always for your time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week to break this one down.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.